Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm John Parrish with the University of Nebraska. Before I get started, I'd like to acknowledge the team I work with, professors and extension educators and graduate students, to help get this project done, as well as our funding sources from the USDA, the Nebraska Corn Board, and the Nebraska Natural Resource Districts. Today we're going to look at a comparison of ground-based active sensors as well as an aerial-based passive crop canopy sensor for in-season nitrogen management. So a little background, some research in Nebraska has shown that the nitrogen use efficiency in Nebraska has started to plateau. It's still pretty decent, but yet we could improve on it. Current research going on has actually shown that active crop canopy sensors have started to improve nitrogen use efficiency compared to what the farmers are already doing at the moment. So kind of what we're looking at in this project is what comparison is between the active crop canopy sensor and the passive crop canopy sensor. We're kind of seeing if the passive sensor can do the similar, efficiency of nitrogen or application of nitrogen as an active crop canopy sensor. This project was completed over four sites this last year around central Nebraska, all on growers' fields. Three of them were center pivot irrigated, while one of them was a subsurface drip irrigation. The design was we have five replications of three field length strips. The grower strip, which is represented in blue, the active sensor treatments, which is represented in red, and then the passive sensor treatments, which is represented in yellow. And this is actually one of our treatment layouts for the previous year. There are some gaps between them because of extra strips we had in there as well. So to get into the methods, we have the growers actually manage their own treatment strips. They use their equipment, they use their own preference on their nitrogen application, their source, and timing as well. The only thing we tell them they can't do is do fertigation for cross-contamination in treatments. The growers also have the responsibility of putting on a base rate of nitrogen to get the active sensor and the passive sensor treatments to a growth stage of about B11 for our applications. So the active sensor and passive sensor treatments both use the same high clearance applicator, which is a Hagi DTS-10, to implement those treatments, and those are applied on the same day. The active sensor treatment uses an AgLeader Optrix sensor, and it's an active sensor because it emits its own light source, which is then detected by the sensor in near-infrared, red edge, and red wavelengths. This is an in real-time, on-the-go application, so as we're sensing, we're applying nitrogen. The passive sensor has quite a few more steps compared to the active sensor treatments. We used an EBSQ with a Sequoia camera, flying at about, with a resolution of about 11 centimeters per pixel. And the reflectance, so the passive sensor is passive because it collects reflection from the crop canopy, usually from another source such as the sun that emits radiation. It also has a radiance sensor on it to collect incoming radiation from the sun, as well as a calibration panel that we have to take an image of before we take a flight, for each flight. And that Sequoia sensor records reflectance in near-infrared, red edge, the red wavelength green, and it also has an RGB camera as well on it. After we collect these images over a field, which is about 600 per wavelength, we have to go through and stitch all the images together to create a image of the entire field in each wavelength, and from that we can actually create a total index of the field, and then we go through and we have to extract those values to polygons to create an application map. So we use the normalized difference red edge index in this study. One of the reasons was because the AgLeader system that's what they use. We also used an algorithm that the AgLeader system uses based on the Holland Shepherd sensor algorithm. So we use that for both sensor treatments. So the algorithm itself actually uses a sufficiency index created from the NDRE values instead of the NDRE values directly. to create this sufficiency index, you have to take a reference NDRE value, or I guess the target NDRE value divided by a reference. To create that reference, the Ag Leader system uses a 95th percentile of a data set that you collect before you start your application over the corn in the field where you're applying. We did a 95th percentile with the passive sensor treatment data set where we flew it, where we extracted the values and calculated the 95th percentile of just the passive sensor treatment and used that as our NDRE reference. This image on here is actually a field that we used this year showing some, an image from the EB or S Sequoia camera showing some nitrogen deficient strips. So here we actually have one of our sites, site 3. This is the site we're going to be covering today just for lack of time that I have. You see how the treatments are laid out there. This is the NDRE values by treatments, and they're actually averaged to a polygon that's about 3 meters in length by 12 meters in width. For the passive sensor, there's about 3,000 data points or pixels averaged for that one of those polygons, and the active sensor has about 2 to 3 data points averaged per that polygon. Something to note about this site, it was actually flown 6 days prior to the applications. There were some weather events that caused that to happen. Here are the NDRE values. On the x-axis, we actually have the location in the field. So when you're closer to the y-axis here, and as you proceed down the x-axis, you're going from west to east. The orange triangles are the passive sensor NDRE values, while the blue triangles are the active sensor NDRE values. Notice there's a distinct difference in this, and there's also more variation in the passive sensor data compared to the active sensor data. And right now I have all treatment strips graphed on here, but once you pull them out, you start to really see the differences there. So here we have the sufficiency index calculated by the NDRE values. Again, we're going from west to east on the x-axis, and then our sufficiency index on the y-axis. I also included on the left there the reference values that we had, so the 95th percentile of those data sets. Notice how significantly different they are, but then the average sufficiency index is actually relatively close without a significant difference there. There is quite a bit more variation in the passive sensor sufficiency index, but it does normalize the data to be similar to the active sensor sufficiency index. Here we have the nitrogen rates in kilograms per hectare that we actually applied. Again, we're going from west to east in the field. Notice that the passive sensor actually applied on average, or the active sensor applied on average less nitrogen than the passive sensor. I also threw the grower nitrogen rate up there to kind of show where he's at, his benchmark of what he's doing. This may not explain everything we're seeing using averages. We may need to look at more or finer scale spatially to kind of see what's really going on with these sensors here. Here on the left side of the graph, we have the, left side of the slide, we have a graph that represents the average NDRE values and the average sufficiency index values by treatment by site. The bars represent the NDRE values, while the dots on the screen represent the sufficiency index. The letters there represent a significant difference between NDRE values with an alpha of 0.05. So we can see that through three of the sites, we have a significant difference between all NDRE values when you average them by treatment. But on site 2, we don't have that significant difference between any of them. Kind of interesting. And I should mention the grower and active sensor treatments are both from the Optric sensors, and the passive is from that Sequoia. The sufficiency index we can see is relatively similar when you look at it by site, which is kind of what we noticed in the data set, where it kind of normalizes our data. On the right side of the slide here, we have a graph of nitrogen rates by site and by treatment. Again, this is the average for that treatment. The nitrogen rate, total nitrogen rate is represented by the bar. Again, the grower is the blue, the red is the active treatment, and yellow is the passive treatment. The black line on there represents their base rate that we had them apply to get us to a growth stage of about V11, which was actually what we applied on all these sites this year. Again, the letters represent significant difference of nitrogen rates, total nitrogen rates, by an alpha of 0.05. So there is some variation there. We can see that on three of the sites, the passive sensor actually called for more nitrogen by treatment average, where site one was the only one with a lower passive sensor treatment, or lower passive sensor nitrogen rate, and this could have been from the high nitrogen base rate that was applied actually. So in summary, we did see significant differences between treatments by NDRE, and that's kind of what we were looking at. And that was noticed on three sites, where one site we did not see that. When we got down to the nitrogen rates is what we were kind of seeing if we can improve efficiency with this passive sensor. The SI actually helped to normalize the data set and bring those nitrogen rates closer together, but they still did significantly differ. So a spatial analysis will probably need to be conducted to see what's going on there. We haven't collected yield yet. Harvest is in progress at the moment, so we'll need to analyze the yield here this winter. So with that, entertain any questions.
All right, any questions?
So he asked, was the passive or active sensor requesting more nitrogen applied at each individual site? During the application, we really didn't notice, I guess, that great of a difference. They actually seemed pretty similar. Like that active sensor is right then and there, so we don't get to tell beforehand. It's kind of as we're driving, it's telling us, so it's really kind of hard to compare. It was very difficult to tell any differences at the moment. Looking at the data post-application, we could really see a difference, though. Does that answer your question? Yep. Could you repeat that?
The analysis was after putting all the images.
Correct, yeah. So he asked if our analysis was after we stitched everything together, and that's correct. So each image actually only represents, it'd be about a hectare on the ground at the altitude we flew at. So to get the full image of the field, we had to stitch everything together and then extract the values after it was stitched. For the sake of time, so he asked if we should analyze each image separately. We could look at that, but I think I'm not exactly sure how it all, I guess, works together if you don't stitch it. The program we used, you kind of geotag it, and then you stitch it just consecutively in a row. So I haven't looked at them separately yet, but it'd be for the sake of time. This process already takes quite a bit of time, about 4 to 5 hours, if you do a small portion of the field compared to at least 80 acres or larger, it would take even quite a bit longer. So that'd be one thing I would say.
As I understand it, you applied the nitrogen at different times. In the active sensor, you're applying it right at the time you're running the sensor. But with the passive sensor, is there a delay? Is that right?
I may not have described that well. So with the passive sensor, there is a delay. We usually flew from a day to 6 days before we applied, depending on weather conditions. We applied them both on the same day. So both the active and the passive were applied on the same day. But you're correct. The passive sensor, you do have to do some post-processing that usually takes about a day, if you can work on it immediately, to get it to an application map.
You think that had any impact on...
It could have. We have one field that we flew the 6 days prior. We have the NDRE values from those 6 days prior, as well as the same day as the application. I have not quite looked at that yet, though. Correct. So he, yep. So you're saying you can't cover a field with the active sensor as quickly as with a passive.
All right. Any other questions? No? All right. Let's thank you.